Business Unusual, separating economic facts from fiction.
Hello listeners, welcome to tonight's edition of Business Unusual, a program that we get to focus on various developments that will be taking place in the domestic market. And as far as business is of concern, getting to dissect various developments that will be taking place in various sectors and subsectors of the domestic economy, as well as business in general. And on tonight's edition of Business Unusual, we are focusing on the poultry business, particularly the incubation as well as the hatchery services. We want to get some in-depth views in as far as what is really taking place within this particular space of business. And my guest tonight is Mr. Ian Kazingizi. He is the managing director for KE Chickens. He's going to give us some information with respect to what is taking place within this particular space of business. Thank you, Mr. Kazingizi, for joining us on tonight's edition of Business Unusual.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chisango, for inviting me through.
All right, so just getting straight into our discussion, Mr. Kazingizi, I do understand that the listeners might want to have an overview about the poultry business, particularly the side of HRE and incubation services. Maybe you can walk us through the overall picture in as far as the industry is of concern in Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much. So the industry, we can say it's in its infant stage, considering the subsidiary size of incubators which we're pushing out to our farmers at the moment. At the moment, everyone buys an incubator, we're now calling him a farmer. And it's a movement which we believe is going actually to increase the production rate of mainly the roadrunners. Why am I specifically concerned about the roadrunners? It's because that's where we have most of our fertile eggs. For as much as these incubators can also hatch broiler eggs, they can do turkeys, they can do ostrich, they can do any egg which is fertile. But most of the consumers of these incubators at the moment, they are mainly focusing on roadrunners. And we believe that as we push them from the smallest to the commercial side of incubators, we will be also pushing the roadrunner numbers in the country to an extent whereby as an industry, we actually feel that we need to have roadrunner carcasses in each and every shop.
Alrighty.
in the country up until we're actually exporting. And we feel that this is quite easy because the eggs of these roadrunners are fertile, and as long as one has an incubator, it's easy to come from 10 beds to 1,000 beds.
Okay.
As long as you have space and you have got food.
All right,
to feed the beds, yes.
All right, so now speaking on the aspect of demand of incubators, what is the current position in as far as demand for incubators within the domestic market?
Currently, people are actually appreciating our incubators because these incubators, once you buy them, you know that you have an asset.
Yes.
Why? Because we are manufacturing them locally, so
okay.
There is no point whereby you say my incubator is down forever.
Okay.
For example, we're looking at how can I put it across? If you buy a car from Germany and it breaks down, it's quite difficult for you to start exporting the parts and everything to bring the car. That's why you see that in the motor industry, most people who bought some Volvo cars, the Mac,
yeah,
they are crying out because it's difficult to get what? To get the spares.
Yeah.
But when you come to our incubators, we are manufacturing them. So whatever breakdown comes with them, we can always make sure that we reset it to factory settings. So that's one biggest advantage of you dealing with us, because we are making them locally and the technicians are the guys who are local, and we are actually empowering the youth and women in not in in our industry. Like, make sure that these young guys who are just graduating, we take them, we get their what, their new technology, whatever they have, wow, so that they can actually put it through to have efficient machines. And like any other production system,
yeah,
every day we are improving the technology so that we have efficient incubators. And currently, there is also an influx increase in terms of ostrich production in the country, fun enough.
All right.
And we are also now making these ostrich incubators, which we are actually putting out in the market to all those who have ostrich. Usually, people are used to import these incubators, but the disadvantage of importing is that when a part goes down, it takes you 6 months to repair the incubator.
Well, quite interesting. So you have mentioned that you are producing the incubators locally, which brings me to my next question of the raw materials that you are using. What is the current position in as far as the supply side of the raw materials that you are using in terms of manufacturing the incubators that you are providing to the domestic market?
Okay, that's a fair good question. So, like I said, we're trying to promote the local market because for the growth of the nation, we just need to be circulating the money around the country. But definitely, as it comes to some things like the controller,
yes,
those are the things which we're mainly importing from other countries. But we have some young guys who are coming from universities. Currently, we have one guy from HEAT and another guy from the UZ who we're actually talking to actually come around and formulate a controller system which we can actually use from scratch, and then we'll compare on the cost of production between what we're importing and what they are making locally. But most of the stuff, they are local. We're buying local.
All right.
The paints, the boards, the steel, whatever we use. I can safely say, if you're looking at our incubator, 80% it's local. The controller and the turning motors and all that, those are some few things which we are importing.
All right.
But 80% is local stuff.
Oh, all right. Yeah. And then coming to the energy that is used to power the incubators, what are the modes of energy that are required to power those incubators for them to be operational?
Oh, okay. That's a very good question. So what we're doing now, like I've said, we have two branches or models of incubators. So where we're saying we have the small ones, which we are making out of the wooden material. And these mainly we're targeting them to the rural setup / subsistence, whereby my assumption is an average rural house have got 4 or 5 people at any given space. So these incubators, they are coming in as manual, and we have made sure that we make them in the most sustainable, efficient way as far as solar usage is concerned. So they use minimal solar usage.
All right.
Yeah, an average of like 8 watt per incubator. However, the downside is that they will be manual. But as we increase, we have what we call dual systems. Dual systems, these, you can plug them on electricity, and then you can plug them on solar with inverters. But the ones which I've talked about first earlier, these ones, they're actually direct current. We're having a solar, we're having a battery and a regulator, and then they are ready to go.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But so, in terms of solar efficiency, that's one of the basic key things which the technicians, our young technicians, are actually looking at improving.
Okay.
Because we know that most of the guys are nowadays, they are moving towards solar systems.
All right. Then coming to the aspect of the challenges, like any other sector of the economy, obviously you are not being spared by various challenges that are grappling the local market.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the pertinent challenges that you're encountering on a day-to-day basis in terms of the manufacturing process of those incubators?
It's quite a broad question, but let me try and answer. Obviously, the cost of production is a bit high from the side of our electricity, because the machines which we're using, they require quite a bit of, they consume more. And then from the market side, it's just now where people now believe in us. But you know, there are funny questions whereby someone asks you, is your product local?
Right.
You understand? Like, yeah. People don't believe
local products.
Yeah, especially, you know, you can actually be surprised that a relative or a friend can actually go and buy a machine from China.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like people don't believe yet in what we're producing. Unless one tries our machine and they say, I didn't know, I've been wasting money buying machines from China.
China.
Yeah, because there's the issue of time, value of money, number one. Number two, when that machine from China breaks down, they'll call us and then we repay it. And then most of the time, that's when they'll gain the confidence that these people are actually doing massive things. But funny enough, we're actually supplying like Mozambique and Zambia and Botswana. But most people around, like I've said, especially the people who know you,
yes,
they just believe this person can't do it. But I understand that's how it is.
Yeah,
sure. You know, you understand, something like that. But overall, it's still fair, because some of the materials which we are using are byproducts of other other things, like, you know, like the cold room boards are the one which we're also using, and you see that we now have I think an average of 4 or 5 companies which are into cold room boards and all that.
They are supplying locally.
Yeah, supplying local. I don't know whether they are importing or what, but I do believe they are also making them locally. So it's easier for us to go and talk to them, even if there is a bigger contract where you need to be making quite huge machines. They can give you on a leverage system, because we are dealing with them every day. The relationships are getting quite good. So there is actually future and sustenance as far as the industry is going up. And we're actually pushing towards having massive incubation depots
across the country.
Across the country, yeah. Whereby even some machines, because the machines which we are working with nowadays, most of them, our 10,000 capacity, our 20,000 capacities are movable. But you can actually have big machines which can accommodate 500,000 eggs. And our technicians, they're actually willing to go for those systems. And once we have that a system like that, we know that we are taking our country forward.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, because the idea is for us to have as many chicks, vis-a-vis chickens,
yeah,
in the country.
In the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Then obviously we cannot have this discussion without also zeroing in on the possible support that you might be requiring from the government in order to further grow and expand your operations.
Sure. One assistant which we might need is the fact that we now need to have industrial parks. You know, it might not be like in Harare, but maybe some places like Norton, some places like Marondera, whereby we actually have a factory. Because the zeal and the energy which I have is having a plant which supports way beyond Zimbabwe.
Okay.
You know, there's need from the government. It's them allocating us land where we can actually have the industrial space for us to work on. And if we are to purchase, we need to be purchasing that land on very flexible terms.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, because the ideas of purchasing we do have, because the industry is big, and I do believe it's quite a big industry which can actually, at the end of the day, bring in a lot of foreign currency to the country if we are to run it through. But at the moment, in terms of the market, it's quite fair, because, you know, the government is actually pushing towards agriculture. So they are, in some way, one of our biggest clients.
Yeah.
So we do appreciate that from that end. And, you know, even the NGO sector, they are also coming in supporting us, for as much as individuals are also supporting us. But in terms of flexibility, in terms of the land where we're doing our work, and then obviously some rebates on imports, but I do believe that most of the staff are also now on rebates, which is also good. I actually believe much of what we need now is the space, is the land for us to do, like, you know, you're going to Norton just after the cave there, those industries. That's one thing I always wish, that I need to have an industry like this, whereby I'm doing my own things. And Norton is one area which I'm actually targeting, or even areas like Kwabora, you know, along the highway, you just have your industry there. You start employing a lot of people, and you have proper systems.
Okay. And then the financial side, any relationship that you're having with the local financial institutions in terms of having access to the credit market?
Yeah, that's a very tricky question. But yeah, we do have relationships, but you know how it is. Most financing is coming from microfinance.
Microfinance, that's
the best way to answer you. So we have microfinances which now believe in us, like to an extent that, like, you call them like 9 a.m., 1 p.m., they can give you money. But we do understand that also banks, we're creating the, but you know, systems and everything. But I do believe we'll get there. And then those are the things which takes time and requires us to push at an individual level. But I do believe if there are policymakers or people in the banking sector listening now, they should know that there are industries which require their assistance and which are actually doing very well. You know, the way I do business, I understand both worlds of business.
Yes.
You know, the much informal sector. I'm always in the Mbare area, the Magamba area. I'm a farmer, I'm an agronomist, you know that.
Yeah, yes.
I'm always in Binga, I'm always in Chipinge. You know, I look at opportunities, I see opportunities, and I can tell what's lacking here, it's capital. You understand? So the man world should look much into that.
Into that, yeah.
Yeah, understand they want collateral, but I don't know how they should do it. They should look much into that. And there is actually a lot of money which they are missing out on.
Yeah, sure. Then also, now shifting based on the issue of the hedging, the hedging aspect of our interview. Maybe you can walk us through the whole hedging process from the point an egg is put into an incubator up until we have a chick.
We have a chick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's quite an interesting thing. Maybe I'll talk from the birds.
Right.
Usually we require a ratio of 1:7, 1:6, one cock, 7 hens or 6 hens. And then that's when we are getting fertility. And then our eggs should be less than 7 days. So I encourage our eggs to be less than 6 days up until we put them in the what? In the incubator. And then if we're moving them from point A to B, like for instance, if they're coming from Toko to Harare,
yes,
we need to move them maybe day 5. Okay. So that when they shake through transportation, they'll come to a point whereby they'll settle down. Settle down, that's day 6, and then we put them in an incubator.
Day seven,
yeah. And then when we've put them in the incubator day 7, day 10, there is a vaccine which we need to put whilst they're still eggs. But vaccination differs with how, with which programs people are following.
Right.
And then day 14... And then when they hatch, so usually on an incubator we have what we call a setter and a hatcher. So a setter, that's where they will be sitting on.
Okay.
And the hatcher, those are the baskets which they will be taken from, and then they are placed down. So usually they start hatching on the hatching baskets, day 19, day 20, and day 21. And then we also apply what some vaccinations there. Vaccinations, you know, that's what makes a health what?
Yeah, yeah.
A health chick.
Yeah.
But basically, that's the process. And incubation, it's a counter process of humidity and temperature.
All right.
Yeah, so you always need to know that my temperature is average low 37.5 when it comes to our hands, and then my humidity is around 60, you see. So, and we can't say these are casted on rocks. They can move. Temperature can be 36, it can be 38, humidity can be 65, can be 58, but it doesn't need to move much away from the range of 60.
All right.
That's the same with, like, for example, if you're doing ostrich, you know that your temperature should be 35, your humidity should be 42. It should not move much away from that. And then you also know that with ostrich, you're looking at around 41 to 45 days. Well, at for hens, it's 18 to 21 days. And then for coil beds, you're looking at 14, 15 days. For ducks, you're looking at 30 days. And there's need for just slight adjustments to the specific what, the specific egg of what is being hatched.
All right. And then any mistakes that are mostly made by farmers when bringing eggs to the hatchery?
Yeah, there are quite a number of mistakes. Number one, sometimes the eggs can come to your hatchery while they have shaked a lot.
Okay.
And then the farmer won't tell you. And then contamination, like the eggs should be neat, they should be clean. But the cleaning, we encourage people to use ViraQ when cleaning their eggs.
Okay.
But you know, some people, they are just like that, like they clean using just a wet cloth.
All
and
right.
Once you're doing that, you actually killing the egg. So those are some. And then some farmers can actually bring eggs after day seven.
Okay.
So the probability of having a good rate would actually be lower. You understand? And then the other mistake can actually be from the male to female ratio. You know, so the cocks can be way more than the females.
All right.
So you can be having a scenario whereby we have five cocks and five hens. You see that the farmer would actually be saying, I have plenty of cocks, but it doesn't work like that.
Okay.
The moment you have plenty of cocks, the moment you have less fertile eggs, because the moment one cock is on top of the hen, the other one will come in. So fertility might not actually be what? Be attained in such
right.
a case, yeah.
All right, so what is the, in a best case scenario, what is the best hatch rate in terms of percentage?
No, that's a very good question. Like, there are some breeds which can give you 80, 90, 95%.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some breeds which dwell around 60, 65.
Okay.
You know, like mostly ducks and guinea fowls, you know, anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually 60, 65.
All right.
But 60, 65. People, they think that since they are machine, they do miracles. They don't do miracles. Hatching is from fertility. So if you look at hunger, they can start just laying when the season is for them to start laying is on, regardless on whether they have met a cock or not.
Mm-hmm.
But some farmers may not know that. So someone can come with 1,000 eggs and expecting 900 chicks to come out of there. But you might be surprised that maybe on the 1,000 eggs, only 300 have actually been fertilized. So out of the 300, 250 who hatch.
All right.
Yeah, but it's something which most farmers actually do not understand. That's the same with these big breeds on chickens. You know, currently there are breeds like the Brahma, the Cock, these imported breeds.
Okay.
They don't hatch much. You understand?
Right,
so
right,
if someone brings 30 eggs, if they come up with 15, 14, that's a very good hatch rate. But an average farmer who haven't been through the experience won't know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. That's it with the hatching process.
All right.
Yeah.
So then to the farmer that is listening to this program, who is actually weighing in the options of buying day-old chicks over hatching eggs, what are the distinct benefits of hatching eggs over buying day-old chicks?
Buying an incubator is more sustainable. It's a lifetime thing. It's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I would just want to do a rough estimate of calculation whereby we're saying maybe you buy your 1,112 egg capacity on $850,
mm-hmm.
and then you put 1,112 eggs in your incubator over 36 days.
36 days.
And then we are saying worst case scenario,
yeah.
you get 50%. If you say 1,112 divided by 2, what does that give us? Maybe we get 560.
Yeah.
And then the market price for chicks at the moment, you being a newcomer,
yeah.
you can't sell maybe at a dollar. Let's assume you're selling at 80 cents.
Yeah.
And then you say 570, but let's remove some mortalities. Maybe we're saying, you know, like 30 have died from the 560, and then you are selling 530. And then you say 530 multiplied by 0.8.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you get from there? So basically what it means is maybe you get 400 something. The reality is within 4 or 5 months, if the eggs are yours, you're not buying them from anyone. You have recouped the amount of money which you have used to buy the incubator.
Yeah.
And I have used the worst case scenario of you having 50%. You can actually have 90%.
Okay.
You understand? So, and the moment you have a machine, usually what will limit most people is the ability to buy the feed. Because the machine will produce plenty of chicks for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So essentially you are saying that it is more profitable to
get a machine.
And then how about the aspect of genetics, the continuation of genetics using incubators?
There are some breeds which have 1 year down genetic, and you know, just like broilers.
Mm-hmm.
Broilers, you have broiler mothers, and then you can put the eggs in the incubator, they hatch.
Yeah.
But what will come after what have been hatched won't give you further eggs which can hatch.
Yeah.
And then there are also some other breeds. There's one breed which was very topical, and unfortunately people didn't know that that's how that breed performs.
Right.
Yeah, but most of our roadrunner breeds, like our Black Astrolabe, the Cuckoo, the Bushfield, and which are the ones they can go on and on whilst giving you fertile eggs. But we always encourage the issue of making sure that you avoid inbreeding, hence you then need crossbreeding.
Yeah.
It may be after 2 seasons so that you have physically fit what chicks throughout.
Okay.
But we don't have a genetic thing. But once something is genetic, it now means it's coming from the lab.
Yeah.
So our broilers and everything, those are lab beds.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then, well, Ian Kazingizi, thank you for having joined us on tonight's edition of Business Unusual.
Thank you, Mr. Xang.
All right. That was Ian Kazingizi, the managing director of KE Chickens, where tonight we were discussing about the poultry business in Zimbabwe, particularly on the aspect of incubators as well as hatchery services. As you are seeing that there is a meteoric rise in growth in as far as poultry business is of concern within the domestic market. Well, this leads me to thank you for having joined us on tonight's edition of Business Unusual. Let's meet again same time next week with me, your host as usual. My name is Takuzwa Chisango. Let's meet again same time next week here on Business Unusual.
Zimbabwe's finest brew. ZFM Stereo.